Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Today I want to talk about the target audience. And there's three different ways to think about this, so I'm breaking this podcast into three parts. I'll include all three parts in this particular audio file, but let's separate our thinking into three different topics or subtopics about the audience. The first section is destination and goals. When I was in my 20s, cutting my teeth in the world of business, I had the opportunity to attend a seminar by a great motivational speaker, business motivational speaker. I know a lot of you have probably had experience with these kind of people. This individual was Zig Ziglar. He's pretty famous in that world. And he told a very interesting story about business that I think relates exactly to our topic of today, the target audience. He set up this imaginary scenario. Imagine that you had an Olympic-level archer who could hit the bullseye with incredible regularity. Ziglar said, "I'll put myself up against that Olympic-level archer and beat them every single time, provided you blindfold them and turn them around a half a dozen times and then told them to shoot at the target." He said, "Even though I've never shot a bow and arrow, I guarantee you my accuracy would be better than the professional, because I'd have my eye on the target. If you don't have a target, if you don't have a goal, how do you know where to aim? How do you know what needs to be adjusted in order to succeed? Because every operation in life, including photography, I might parenthetically add, has variables, has difficulties, has challenges. And part of what defines success, obviously, is overcoming those challenges. And the first part of that is having a destination and knowing what your goals are." So extending that to the world of photography, I would simply say, if you don't have a target audience in mind when you produce your work, then how will you know what to produce or how to produce it? If you're just producing it on a whim, what are the odds that's going to connect with an audience? Now, of course, for most of us, our primary target audience is ourself. We produce our work for our own enjoyment and entertainment, and when we think it's really good, a lot of times that's all that's necessary. But if you want to share your work somehow, there's only two approaches. One is to take your work and put it out there in the world and hope that the sheer odds of coincidence come into play so that people stumble onto your work and enjoy it, but there's obviously no guarantee that they will. You're relying on random luck for your work to connect to an audience. On the other hand, if you have an audience that defines your goal, and you're producing work for that audience because you think it'll be meaningful, the odds of connecting with that audience are much, much higher. The simplest way to think about this, of course, is the photography gallery. You may produce your work for yourself, but once you hang it in a gallery, the gallery itself helps define the target audience, because the only people that are likely to go to a photography gallery are people who are interested in looking at photographs. So to some degree, exhibition in a gallery space does make sense, because you're at least targeting a group of people that you know enjoy photography. The other side of that coin, which I see a lot, is when a photographer puts their work up in some place where the general public will come across it, like a sandwich shop or restaurant somewhere. I see this quite a bit. And the one thing I've noticed with consistency over my 50 years in photography is that nobody looks at that work. It's fun to put it out there, and you may occasionally stumble onto someone who looks at your work, but the greatest chances are they're a photographer, or they somehow have photography in their life, and they see your photographs up on the wall of the sandwich shop or restaurant, and they say, "Okay, that's interesting," but that's not why they're primarily there to look at your work. They're primarily there to have a meal. And so whatever connection you make with that audience is pretty fleeting. On the other hand, if you have a target audience that is a definable group of people who you can produce work specifically for them, or at least that you think they will enjoy, your odds of connecting go up dramatically. So I guess what I'm suggesting here is you can make work for yourself, but the ability for that work to connect with others is going to be pretty limited and pretty random. Or you can make work on purpose for a specific group of people, and your chances of connecting with them are a lot greater. Destination and goals are important. And before we produce anything, maybe that's worth putting a little thought into. And if it turns out that the only audience you care about is just yourself, that's perfectly fine. I think there's nothing wrong with that. But the implication of that is that the work may not connect with very many people elsewhere out in the world other than maybe your family, friends, and a few peers. And their primary connection to the work is going to be because they know you, because they care about you, because they're friends, family, and loved ones, etc. So that's destination and goals. The second part of this conversation needs to be about media and the audience. When we started Lenswork in 1993, for all intents and purposes, there were only two media for sharing our photographs. We could produce original prints, or we could produce some commercially printed book or magazine. That was basically it. There were a few photographers whose work was exhibited in slideshow presentations, but they were pretty rare. More frequently, it was either original prints or books slash magazines. But we don't live in 1993 when we started Lenswork. We certainly don't live in 1970 when I started photography. We live in the age of media. And I think one of the most important developments in photography in the last 30 years or so has been the advancement of various media, different ways for us to show our work. How many people these days show their work primarily on Facebook or Instagram or some other digital platform that didn't exist 30 years ago? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that fantastic? And then, of course, it's Facebook and Instagram's kissing cousin, the e-publication, the PDF, if you will. That's a fantastic way to share work with people all over the globe. Anybody who has access to the internet can download your digital book and see your work without having to entertain any commercial aspects, unless you want to try to sell these things, but you don't have to. In the early days of Lenswork, when we were print only, we were pretty skeptical, quite honestly, when the PDF came around because it was sort of an unknown commodity. But we tried putting out a few things in PDFs, but we were too far in front of the audience. Nobody knew what a PDF was. We spent hours and hours on the phone explaining to people how to look at a PDF. But eventually, the audience caught up. And now we have Lenswork Online that's got lots and lots and lots of PDFs. Of course, I do my own personal work in Kokoro, which is a PDF that is downloadable off my personal website. But the point I really want to make is that in the last 30 years since the introduction of digital distribution, we've seen this tremendous fragmentation of readership into a variety of media. We know we have readers who are only interested in the print version of the magazine. We also have people who are only interested in the tablet version that we do. There's also people who are only interested in the computer version. There's some overlap, but it's not 100%. So the lesson there is that your target audience, to some degree, needs to be understood as people who are attached to media that you may not even think of in terms of producing your work. If you're still producing original prints and that's all you're doing, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that, of course. But that leaves a whole huge audience that you'll never connect with because you don't have a website or a Facebook page or Instagram or publish your own PDFs. So let's say, just for fun, you decide you want to do that, and you're going to publish some PDFs, and you learn the technical skills, which aren't that complicated, to be able to publish your own e-publications like PDFs. Do you produce the same thing in the PDF that you would produce in a commercially printed book or in a gallery exhibition of your original prints? And the answer is no, because the media defines the expectations. And so if you target an audience that is going to download your work from your website, or you're going to send it out via email or something, you need to produce that work so that it's appropriate for that media, for that audience. And so what that implies for us, the content creators, is that we need to think in terms of multiple media if we want to have any chance of connecting with essentially everyone. You can't just do original prints. You can't just do books. You can't just publish in magazines. You can't just do Facebook or even just PDFs, because each one of those media has its own audience. And so it becomes incumbent on us to think carefully, essentially with each and every project we do, which of those audiences do we care about? Which of those audiences do we want to connect with? And how do we modify our content for the medium and for the audience? Okay, enough about media and audience. Let's move on to the third part of this discussion, which is time. Photography has this absolutely wonderful relationship with time, in that from every click of the shutter, we have recorded history. And even if we take the image far beyond the click of the shutter and we do extensive processing and create something really unique and imaginative, it's still a product of time. In an odd sense, photography has this very strange relationship with time, in that we can either see a photograph as a memory, and looking back, that is to say, if we see a photograph today that was made 50 or 100 years ago, we're literally looking back in time. But at the same time, as producers, as content creators, when we create a photograph, we are opening a conversation to the future, to people who will see our work long after we're gone. That's what I like to characterize as the great conversation that opens with art. So the question relative to target audience is, who is your target audience? Isn't it possible that your target audience won't exist for 25 or 50 or 100 years? And if that's even remotely true, it's also possible that your audience may not exist for a year or two or three. And those audiences of the future may have a different mindset about looking at photographs of today. Because keep in mind, they'll be looking back through time at the instant at which we made our photograph, which no longer exists. So this strange relationship with time about the future and the past is a part of photography that determines to a large degree who we approach as our potential audience. Which brings up one final thought about this target audience business, and that's this. Because each of us is, in our own way, our own audience for our own work, we tend naturally to be most excited about the work we are producing now, about the work that is most present in our life now. And that's probably as it should be as we're producing our work. But keep in mind, every time we produce something and we're done with it, it then starts floating backwards in time. That's the way I think of it anyway. And with every passing day, week, month, year, decade, it becomes older and older and less a part of our current life. And it can become easy for us to sort of discount it because it's what we did, not what we're doing. That's our relationship with our current self, our current audience, and our current work. But someone who's never seen your work before but discover something that you produced 10 years ago, to them, that's brand new. That's now. And I think we have to recognize that there is a target audience today for work that we finished 1, 5, 10, 20 years ago. And that we kind of owe that work, is the way I think about it anyway, we owe that work an opportunity to be seen and to push it into the background as though it's unimportant can be a real shame, because there is an audience today who might connect with that older work. So just because it's older to you doesn't mean it's older to the rest of the world. It may be brand new to the rest of the world. This obviously shows up most powerfully in the posthumously discovered photographer whose work comes to public attention without the photographer sort of getting in the way by saying, don't look at my old stuff, look at my new stuff, because that's the stuff that's really exciting. But you can't do that because you're no longer here. And so that work surfaces posthumously. That's precisely why I've emphasized in various podcasts and articles I've written that the older work you've done should not be ignored, because it's brand new to people who have never seen it. So your target audience today might be the work that you produced 20 years ago, and that strange connection through time makes them a target audience for that older work that might be exactly what they're looking for. The bottom line of all of this is this. We produce our work for ourselves primarily, but that's not the only people we produce for. We also produce because we're trying to connect with our fellow human beings in some way or another. If we didn't want to connect with them, we wouldn't need to produce the work. We could just make the picture, look at it on our computer screen, and delete the file. But we don't do that. We make prints, we make books, we do gallery exhibitions, we produce e-publications or PDFs, we have websites and Facebook and Instagram, we trade work, we sell work, we give work away. At some level, we are all interested in connecting with an audience. But if that audience is not a targeted audience, that is to say, if we don't make specific efforts to reach specific people, then our entire career is sort of left to chance, which is a way to go through life, I guess, but seems to me to put far too much emphasis on the luck of the draw, and will likely end up denying the pleasure of seeing your work to lots and lots of people because they don't have the luck of stumbling on to this wonderful thing you've created. Producing for a target audience, to me, seems to be the first steps before the production, maybe even before the photography. And I can't tell you the number of times I've done portfolio reviews or talked with people about the work that they're producing. And with some regularity, the first question I ask is, who is your target audience? And people have no idea. They've never thought about it. They think, well, it's just something I want to produce. Okay, fine, so your target audience is you. But beyond that, who is your target audience is a question that most people never take the time to think through. And because this is art, we can do anything we want. But it just seems to me that a little bit of thought about who you want to connect with this wonderful work that you're producing, might be a useful way to think about your work and to guide and inform your work so that you're producing something that you can not only be proud of, but something that other people might be interested in.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.